Hi, this is Tracy Watson, and welcome to the Laughing Mother Project, where we laugh at the days to come. Good morning, friends. Today, I wanted to speak about a personal testimony in my own life, and hopefully it's drenched with the love of Jesus, and just listen to it. You may agree, you may not agree, but I just pray that above all else, something would be deposited into your spirit about the love of Jesus for you. Today, I wanted to talk about the fact that I believe that we can have spiritual allergies. And what I mean by that is, just like in the natural, you can, say for example, have a grass allergy or an allergy to nuts or something like that. And when you come into contact, or when your body ingests that thing, there can be an allergic reaction. I think that can happen in your spirit as well. And today I want to talk to you about the fact that I, in my life, have sometimes found myself wrestling with how to live well under authority. Okay? And this is a very difficult topic for me to talk about, because I feel that I'm very aware of the fact that maybe the way people perceive me under authority will be reviewed or questioned. But I'm actually okay with that, because I'm going to tell you what I feel that the Holy Spirit has revealed and made clear to me as a person. I grew up in South Africa, where there was a racially unfair system of authority. Apartheid separated people of color into different areas where they could live and go to school. And so I became very aware of authority being able to play out in people's lives, and in many respects, limit them from experiencing and enjoying the fullness that God had to offer them because of an unfair system. Now, I know that this is a contentious issue. It is racially charged. And I also want to say that I'm living in New Zealand now, and in many respects, even although there's been a shift in government, there isn't necessarily fairness. And so I'm not trying to take sides racially in this conversation. But what I am trying to just give you a perspective on is that my mom and dad became part of a church which were very politically active in bringing down this unfair system of apartheid. And they went about doing that by being a church that made protests against that system through art and culture. And so they developed a culture called Friends First and Friendship Before Function. They believed that Jesus wanted us to be family and to hold relationship very highly, above wanting to function and be works-based as Christians. And the church was very full of people who actually made statements about what they believe Jesus died for us to live in, the freedom that Jesus died for us to live in through art. So there was photography, and there was art exhibitions, all displaying something of the freedom that God meant for us to enjoy, that we all from different races are children of the Most High God. And it was a beautiful thing for me to experience. I actually came to realize I love art. I studied art until I was in matric. And something I've noticed about artistic people is that they are political forerunners. I believe that spiritually they are seers, and they can see changes that need to happen. And when you go and study the history of art, you see that they took, first of all, art was reserved for places of worship, and art was displayed in cathedrals and in religious places. And then art began to be taken out onto the streets. And my recollection of this is I did it about 20 years ago, so I'd probably need to go and refresh what I remember about all of this. But I know that Impressionism was taking art out and making it for everybody, not just for people that were religious. And I think they even used to go and excavate bodies so that they could see the beauty of the body and come to understand how to draw and how to sketch and how to discover how the body actually worked. So artists have always looked creatively at what is going on around them, and they've set the trends and shown us what is happening moving forward. So that's basically how they fought that system, was through art. And they brought out songs and worship songs that spoke about freedom. And Jabulani Africa, we see a new Africa. They began to declare prophetically the Rainbow Nation, the nation that God had actually envisioned: love, inclusion, freedom for all people to become all the things that God had placed in their hearts to be. So that's my background of being a freedom fighter, actually, to see the fullness of God explored and expressed in every human being's life. And so I think that within me, coming back to that allergy thing, within me there's this thing of, like, if I encounter a spirit of control, something happens within me where I just feel like that's not right. It's not right to feel that you need to control people. It's not right that there should be a spirit of behavior modification. Because I believe Jesus died for us to enjoy freedom and power. And when we go back to Genesis, you see that what God actually did when he created man and woman was he gave them the most powerful thing, and it was free will. He told them to go and rule and govern the earth, and to multiply, and to have dominion over the earth. So I do believe that God wants order. He wants radical obedience. Jesus came to the earth and exemplified radical obedience to God. So I'm not speaking about going and being dishonoring and rebellious against authority at all. I believe that it is God's divine plan to be submitted to authority. But I don't feel that control is something that is of God. I believe that God gives powerful free will. And something that I just had a revelation of this morning was that I thought, you know, even although God gave human beings free will and they messed up and chose the wrong thing, they chose sin, God values free will so highly that he sent Jesus to die to restore free will to human beings who had abused that free will and must have hurt the heart of God extremely deeply in ways that we'd never really understand or comprehend. He didn't restore the Garden of Eden again. He restored free will to us again. He put power to choose back in our hands, despite the fact that we had messed up. So God really values free will. You know, I was just thinking about the fact that there are books written that say dealing with a strong-willed child. Well, I think that anybody that I work for, or Doug I'm married to, or my parents, for those people, it's a case of dealing with the free-willed child. Because, man, I'm just so passionate about having free will. I want to protect the rights of anybody that comes in under my authority, whether it be my children or in my classroom or anything that I'm entrusted with. I want to guard with all my heart and respect that each human being has been given free will by the Father in heaven. I am a free-willed child. So, I believe that we are created to be powerful. I believe that control robs us of that free will. Like I've said, I think that sometimes in the church, God is presented as the great punisher. And I say that respectfully. I don't even think that the dear ones who present him like that are even aware of the fact that that is what maybe they are presenting him as being. But I just think of when I taught in an Afrikaans school, and there was a saying that one child said. He basically said that God gaan jou straf, and it was that God's going to punish you. So if you lie, God's going to punish you. If you smack your friend, God's going to punish you. You know, that type of rhetoric that comes through, that if you don't pay your tithes, God's going to punish you. If you don't go to church, God's going to punish you. And so I went and I've looked into the scriptures about what God says about that. And I found in Hebrews 11 verse 6 that it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder, not a punisher, of those who diligently seek him." So our Father in heaven is a rewarder. He wants to reward you, and he rewards faith. He doesn't reward good behavior. In fact, good behavior he calls dirty rags. He rewards faith. So basically this means, okay, well then what is sin? You know, like God doesn't want us to be sinners. And in Romans 3 verse 23, it says, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous." And this is what I love, because I just believe that God is so amazingly kind. He is so kind, and it's his undeserved kindness that causes us to repent. So in Romans 2 verse 4, it says, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that it's God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" So when we put rules and laws in our home to modify the behavior of the people living in our home, we actually unwittingly can be wounding hearts, because we can put laws and rules above the hearts of all the precious people that are living in our home. This makes me think then, okay, so it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. If you think of when you've given your heart to Jesus, it's because you've encountered the love of God. You have encountered how much God loves you. In all your sin, he didn't come and say to you, "Hey, I can give you a great life if you get your life in order, if you start doing the right things." No, we just encounter the incredible love of God, that he loves you so much. It's the kindness that despite all of your rubbish, he loves you. That is what leads you to repentance. Okay. Now, as Christians, we know the idea of being born again. And I was thinking one day about how, you know, if you're a Jew, you cannot stop being a Jew because you do a bad business deal or because you disrespect your mother, you're no longer a Jew. Or you just do something that the family's not happy with, you're no longer a Jew. No, you're a Jew by birth, by blood, you're a Jew. You're part of a culture, you're part of a nation, you're part of a promise from Abraham and from all the different lineage, the different people that carry, that your lineage carry. You are a Jew by birth and by blood. And Jesus actually has meant that we as Gentiles have become adopted and grafted into the bloodline of Jesus. Jesus is a Jew, and our ancestors are Abraham, and we gloriously inherit the promises and blessings that were spoken over Jews, and we've become part of that family. And that is why we are born again, because we have now been grafted into that family, right? But I think we still think like an adopted brother or sister, that the love that we experience is conditional. The Jew doesn't think that they are loved conditionally. They are enjoying the unconditional love, the unconditional experience of being born into a chosen race, into a lineage of being Jewish. But we sometimes think, oh, we are that brother that's been adopted into the family, and sometimes there's trust issues. We think that we can actually lose being born again into the blood of Jesus through bad behavior. Actually, friends, it's all about our beliefs, not our behavior. It's what we believe. Because what we believe will become apparent and will work itself out in our behavior. So the thing is not to control behavior modification. It's not the spirit of control. It's actually changing our beliefs, and our beliefs need to come in line. We need to renew our minds to take hold of the fact that we have been made precious children of the living God. A God who loves us so much that as we begin to put our faith in the finished work of what Jesus has done for us, we begin to walk like sons and daughters who are massively loved. This actually makes me think of, I'm coming back to me and how I cope with the authority that I find myself under. I realize that I actually have had trust issues in the past. You know, I've thought that like, does this person really love me? Do they have my best interests at heart? And when I have those trust issues, if I feel that they don't love me and they're not for me, it can manifest in behaviors that look like rebellion. And we know that in 1 Samuel 15 verse 23, rebellion is seen as witchcraft. And so I definitely do not believe that we have any right to rebel against authority, that we have any rights to go against the authority that is above us at all. I'm not an advocate of that. But I do believe that if I see that allergic reaction happening in me, where I start believing that, or I start acting rebellious or disrespectful, I need to go back and say, hey, what's going on? And even if I'm picking up that there is a spirit of control and I don't want to be controlled and I just want to go out and reserve the right to be free, I have to look back at my heart and say, hey, what is going on with the trust here? What is the issue of trust that I am wrestling with over here in this area of my life? You know, it goes back to the Garden of Eden, where the enemy spoke to Adam and Eve, and he wanted to hijack that love that they were living in. They were covered and clothed with glory. Every single one of their needs was taken care of by the love of a good God. They walked in His presence and they could exercise free will. They named the animals. They could gloriously have authority over the earth. And yet, what was the lie that the enemy came to them with? He came to them with the lie of saying to them, "Did God really say that?" He challenged trust. And when he questioned the trust, he hijacked the free will. He actually came in the way of a love that was so unconditional and powerful. So was the sin eating the apple? Is the sin the behavior? Or is the sin when we actually stop believing that the one who loves us is for us? He's got our best interest at heart. He loves us. And we start thinking that we need to independently eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead of eating of the tree of life. So what does that mean? Well, eating of the tree of life is actually realizing that in order to be fully alive, resurrected from the dead, born again, living fully in the authority and power that Jesus died for me to have, and being restored back to the Garden of Eden, means that I need holy communion with God all the time. I need to remember the bloodline. I need to go and remember that my identity is that I'm grafted into the bloodline of Jesus, to go and take holy communion as often as I can and enjoy that divine exchange that Jesus has taken my weakness and made me strong, that Jesus has taken the fact that I've acted like an orphan and made me a daughter and a precious son, that where I am sick, He makes me whole again. All those things, that is what Holy Communion is. It's actually eating from the tree of life. You know, friends, eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is when I go and try and look for information. And I go and put my hope and my strength and my trust in knowledge, in Google, in studying things, in other people's opinions, in thinking about what's right or wrong. And all of those things lead to death. You know why they lead to death? Because there's no power of a loving God in them. It's all down to me. It's all after me, taking care of me, having my own back, being suspicious, thinking I need to know everything in order to be in control. But instead, when I surrender to the love of Jesus, when I surrender and I partner with my Father's heart for me and how He loves me and He's for me, I don't need to partner with rebellion. I can surrender and I can submit and I can be radically obedient and my behavior changes and I want to do the will of God. You know, even Jesus went to the cross. He was obedient even when he asked God that the cup would pass from him. But because he knew that God loved him and God's love works all things to the good of those who love him, that he could even do the hard things. It's not about only like avoiding the things that we don't like to do. It's actually understanding that Jesus loves us so much that we can be radically obedient because we want to be knitted in to love. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying in all of this. That basically I'm wanting all of us to go back into our homes and think, are there power struggles going on in our homes? Is there control issues? Is there control happening where we think that we need to get our children behaving correctly? Where we actually out of fear think that if they don't behave correctly, bad things, this is happening. That, you know what I'm saying, guys. You know exactly what I'm saying. But before we can get anybody that is underneath our authority, any child, we need to deal with ourselves, friends. We need to go back and say, hey, I need to deal with the free world child. I need to work out, am I am I battling with trust? And then I want to just talk about scriptures, about how much God loves you. Sorry, my computer has just gone off because I'm just talking here from the heart. But there's a scripture that I want to read, which is in Isaiah 54, verse 10. There might be mountains that you are facing, but God says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. God wants to release compassion on you where you are. He wants to lift the burden of feeling like he's going to punish you. Friends, God loves you. He 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 wants your heartbeat to understand the frequency of how much he loves you. He loves you so much that he wants to give you free will to decide to follow him. To decide that he loves you so much that if his love is for you, who can be against you? And even in Romans 8, verse 37 to 39, it says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jesus loves you, man. He loves you so much that he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved you and me, we also ought to love one another. Does our love look like control? Do we try and control those around us? Do we try and manipulate? Do we think because we're in a position of authority that we can control and we can tell others and rob others of their free will? Let us repent of that, dear friends. That is not of Jesus. It is not of Jesus. Let us love one another. Love comes from God. And when we see that those beneath us are not behaving correctly, let's not seek to change their behavior, but let's instead go and investigate the condition of their heart. Let's go and see why, what is the depths? Where is the trust going wrong here? Where is their fear? Where is the orphan mentality operating? Where does this person think that they need to actually try and take care of themselves? Do they believe that I am not for them? Because if I'm an authority over this child or these people, if God has given me this authority, friends, am I actually showing them that I am for them? That it's not about building a great family or a great organization. Jesus actually said that we are the temple of his Holy Spirit. He didn't say we're there to build the temple. He said that we are the temple. So when we're engaging with people on a daily basis, we are dealing with carriers of the glory of God. We are actually dealing with the temples of the Holy Spirit. And we need to actually see that as very sacred and not wound hearts. So having said all of this, let's pray. Father God, we just repent if we've partnered with the spirit of control. We just break all agreement with control in Jesus' name. Father God, we repent if we've been rebellious, if we have had trust issues and we've begun to walk in rebellion or try to eat from the spirit, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We break all partnership of that in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we take Holy Communion and we say thank you for the blood. Thank you that you want to restore us to being children in your family. And Holy Spirit, we just ask you for the bread of life. We thank you that we can eat of the bread of life. We thank you, Jesus. We do not take lightly the sacrifice of you dying to graft us back into the family of the Most High God, where we can eat from the tree of life. Teach us, God, and show us the wonders of your love. Father God, will you begin to show us how much you love us as we walk through the days? Father God, I just pray Zephaniah 3 verse 70. The Lord your God is with you. Friend that is listening, and I say this to myself, Tracy, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves you, and he takes great delight in you and in me, and in his love, he will no longer rebuke you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. No more rebuking. Every lie that comes to rebuke and say, God gaan jou straf, everything that says God wants to punish you, we just break that lie in the name of Jesus. Because here in Zephaniah it says, he will no longer rebuke you. And let's replace that with the truth. He will rejoice over you with singing. Thank you, God, that you're a father, that you want to rejoice over us with singing. And you want that singing to echo in our homes, in our parenting, over our children. Father God, help us to raise free-willed children. Children who have a free will, but that choose to eat from the tree of life. Thank you, Father God, for your blessing over every single home in your powerful name. Seal these things. Holy Spirit, I pray for the blood of Jesus over what I have shared. Jesus, may there be no offense taken. May no human being hear any of this and take it and twist it and move it into something that is not of you. Wash this word with the blood of Jesus. And Father God, let people go and take what they feel is for them and just go and let you, Holy Spirit, speak the truth. Let it not be Tracy's opinion. Let it not be Tracy's revelation. Father God, let it just cause any person listening to go and search the scriptures and make it their own personal revelation. In Jesus' name, amen.